back to Hertz Ag Talk. I'm your host, Troy Kazire, with Hertz Farm Management in Geneseo, Illinois. And I want to take a little bit of time today to just kind of give an update on the current crop situation. We've got, it's August 1st, 2023, kind of right in the smack dab middle of the season here. We're well into reproductive phases for the most part. And we've got several farm managers from kind of across the Midwest here that have joined us today to kind of talk about what things are looking like in their area and provide an update. First off, we've got Nick Hoffman, farm manager in our Nevada, Iowa office. Nick, thanks for joining today.
Thanks for having me, Troy.
And then we've got Steve Henniker up in our Mankato, Minnesota office. Steve, how you doing today?
Very good. Beautiful afternoon here in Minnesota, 76 degrees.
Fantastic. Can't ask for much better than that. And then we've also got in our DeKalb, Illinois office, Troy Dukes. Troy, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Yeah, glad to join you, Troy.
So what we'd like to do is just kind of go around the horn here and talk a little bit about where we're at and things that we're seeing, issues that might be popping up. So let's just kind of start with general conditions. I know we've, you know, for a good part of the season, we've had a fairly widespread drought, but some areas have been impacted more than others. Let's start out there in Nevada, Iowa with you, Nick. What kind of impact do you think the drought has had on you guys? Where are you at with rainfall and what are you seeing just with general conditions?
Yeah, Troy, I always hate to answer that question because I feel very fortunate where we're at here in central Iowa. We've had rainfall events that have come very timely. Our latest one was about 2 weeks ago. We received anywhere from 1.5 to 4.5 inches of rain. But again, that was not a very big area either. So it was very localized central Iowa, maybe dipped in a little bit to eastern Iowa, but western Iowa missed out on most of that. So that has helped us get us through this heat we had last week of 100, right near 100 degrees, and then feels like of 120. I looked at my phone on Friday afternoon, it was 120 heat index. And I remember seeing that for many, many years. So corn was under a lot of stress last week. We had just enough rainfall to kind of keep us going. So I guess it'd be interesting to see how much that heat affected us for our grain fill. And obviously pollination was completed already, but for grain fill, are we going to lose some kernels off the tip of that ear?
Yeah. And what are you looking at in your area there, Nick? What's your growth stage for the most part?
Yeah. For the most part, we've moved into R4 on both soybeans and corn. Our fungicide spraying wrapped up middle to late last week for most of our beans. And most of our beans were planted we started middle of April and we're mostly finished up by the first week of May. So our growth stage was in that R3 category, you know, right around the 20th to 24th of July for fungicide applications. And then corn, we tasseled probably about the 12th, 15th of July. And so now we're moving into that R4 dough stage. And again, we're hoping to get a rain to help finish out some grain fill here in the next, you know, hopefully even as soon as tonight.
Very good. Let's head a little further north. Steve, what's the drought been like, or have you guys been affected much by it up there in southern Minnesota?
Well, that's a very good question. We've been impacted for sure, no doubt. Might recall for our kind of corner of the world earlier on when we were trying to plant, our planting was delayed quite a bit because of we're just inundated with rain, heavy rain, especially in the south central part of the state, which was a kind of a curse at the time, but it's turned in more of a blessing now. We're going off of those reserves we built up and but right now, I guess the worst part of the drought is in the southeast part of the state and east central. Thankfully, the rainfall we've seen the last 2 weeks has kind of been the heaviest in those most droughty areas. And so that's a blessing there, too. I think that even with the delayed planting, we were I was looking at the numbers here. As of July 26, I think we were at just over 1,500 GDUs. That's 9% above the normal. So with all the heat, we've really caught up. There's a big red bullseye, I guess, in a few counties in southeast Minnesota and east central that has the most concern right now. But it's really spotty kind of all over the state. We're having some of that pineapple-looking corn for a while, just hanging on to surviving to now. Big picture, I guess, we're doing pretty decent, but, always looking for the next rain.
Yeah, what are you guys looking at for typical crop growth stage?
I think we're over 90% silking. I think we're at about 39 to 42% in the dough stage, and even have a couple percent that's starting to dent now. So that's on the corn side, and not sure if you're looking for an update on the soybeans right now, but yeah. That's ahead of normal too.
Okay, very good, very good. Let's swing on over to DeKalb and Troy Dukes. What have you guys been seeing as far as drought impact, and where has that got you sitting right now?
Yeah, Troy, I'd say it's really been the tale of two summers here in Illinois, as anybody from the area out here knows. By the time we planted early May through, I'll say, the end of June, we really didn't have much rainfall to speak of, and everything was burning up. And, even with the lack of rain, I'm surprised things were holding on as well as they were, both corn and beans. But we really saw, from a corn standpoint, and even the beans, I guess, the earlier planted fields held on better and weren't quite as stressed as the later planted farms. And a lot of that, too, you saw soil types really show up during that period as well. The marginal versus the deeper soils that could hold a little more water. So we did see a lot of stress, but it's all of a sudden the light switch flipped there at the end of June, and we've had some pretty good rain events since that time. And so things have really greened up. The soybeans really sat most of June without doing anything in the field, very dormant. And then all of a sudden here since July 1st, they've really taken off. And put on a lot of vegetative growth and look really good. The corn, same way. We greened up. It tapped into nitrogen and really looks good as well over a majority of the area. So it's just been kind of two different chapters as we go through the summer. And we've been very fortunate here since July 1st. Most of the area across northern Illinois, we've ranged from anywhere from 5 inches to 6.5 inches of rain. And that's been over multiple rain events, so it hasn't come all at one time, which has been nice. So soil moisture wise we're in very good shape right now, but we're kind of at that critical time period like the others have said. Corn, we're right around R2 to R3 right now in most fields, so that milky to blister or blister to milky stage on the ear. And soybeans, most fields are around R3 to R4 with some pods being set. A few of the early planted fields are starting to hit R5 with some seed set. So we're right there at that critical time. So as long as we can keep a few showers coming here over the next couple of weeks, that will really help finish out this crop.
Yeah, and I would say a very similar story for us kind of in northwest Illinois. Plenty of moisture early on in the year, maybe even delayed planting a little bit, although most of it happened in a fairly timely manner. Then pretty much there was about a 6-week period from May through mid-June that we didn't get anything at all here. And that really, really caused some fields to struggle. The thing that I've found in a lot of cornfields especially is that I'm a little bit concerned about, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, a little bit more, but I'm seeing some restricted root development in a lot of cornfields. There was some, sidewall compaction that normally, after planting an emergence, you get some additional rains, it softens things up and the roots can bust through it. That didn't happen this year, just kind of baked and solidified. And a lot of hatchet roots, and I'm a little concerned about what that's going to mean later on. Since then, from mid-June on, we've had enough rain to keep us going. Temperatures cooled off. We had beautiful pollination, conditions here through most of this area. We've got decent sized ears out there. I would say most of the corn, just like Troy, you said, we're probably mostly in the R3 stage right now. Most of the beans that I've been in are in R3. Some of them are into R4. As long as we can keep the spigot turned on, there's still some decent potential, but we'll talk about that in more detail here in a little bit. Let's move on to diseases. Been hearing a little bit about tar spot in a few places and a couple other things. Nick, we'll come back to you out in Nevada, Iowa. What are you seeing or hearing as far as the disease situation in corn and soybean?
Yeah, I'd say that right now that the pressure is there. You can pretty much find most diseases that you would expect, gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, including tar spot, if you look hard enough. But the pressures are still light enough to where most of our corn in this area is sprayed with a fungicide, so we can help suppress some of that disease. But again, we haven't had the rainfall here the last 2 weeks to help with our disease development as much as maybe other areas have had. But again, a heavy dew will also help keep that disease going as well. And we've had a few of those. So I guess time will tell, too early to predict, but definitely something that all of us in the office are monitoring to make sure that disease are held in check.
Now with, depending on your geography and Steve, when we get to you, I think this will probably be more of an issue, but as we slide north, we tend to see more problems with white mold and soybean. Now, a hot, dry July will kind of nip that in the bud, but we've had some cooler stretches. We've had a little more moisture, more dew. What do you typically see for white mold pressure in your area, Nick?
Really, that to me, from my background being in the seed business before coming to Hertz, a lot of that was variety sensitive. How susceptible the variety was to white mold. We typically have a wide range of row spacing here in central Iowa, from 30 inch rows down to drill beans at 7.5. So, I'd be more concerned about my narrow row beans that have a very thick canopy where I can't get that moisture out from the ground level up. But again, I kind of look at variety scores and base my decisions when I purchase seed on that, and then also follow up if I do have something that's susceptible. Monitor that one a little bit closely than I do a more tolerant variety.
Sure. Steve, how about you? A little bit further north, a little bit different conditions and probably a slightly different disease spectrum for you. What have you been seeing?
Well, maybe we've had just the right weather that, there hasn't been one disease, to my understanding, that has really reared its ugly head. Probably just pockets of limited disease pressure. Yeah, white mold is something that's always been an issue in Minnesota and soybeans. A lot of manure use. We've got a lot of livestock, and so those heavier manured fields, something to watch out on. So we try to watch variety selection, and then, like it was mentioned, row spacing. Try to keep those on 30 inches. No news is good news for the most part. We're sitting pretty decent as far as disease pressure on both crops.
Excellent. Troy, what are you seeing over there in DeKalb?
Yeah, sounds like a lot of the same. Our disease pressure is extremely minimal. We're just not seeing a lot for leaf disease on corn. Few reports of gray leaf and random reports of tar spot, but nothing that's alarming or big outbreaks at this point, which is good. I'm hoping we're set up for a scenario like we were last year, where when disease did move in, it was late enough in the year, it had very minimal, if any, impact on yield. So fingers crossed we do that again this year. But we just haven't had, even with the rains through July, we have not had heavy dews in the mornings. Just the environment just hasn't been prime for this stuff to take off. So that's been very fortunate. Soybeans, same way, very few disease issues there. White mold in particular was really bad through this area in northern Illinois last year. And so Kind of back to the comments about variety selection, I think that was first and foremost on people's mind as they were picking out seed for this crop year, and hopefully we're able to get some varieties that were a little more tolerant and could withstand that a little bit better. But the environment's been just right so far that we just haven't seen a whole lot of issues yet, but something we're still have to keep our eye on. We don't want to turn our back on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, similar story here. I've seen a little bit of gray leaf spot, but very little, pretty small lesions. I have not seen any tar spot. I've heard some anecdotal reports here and there, but nothing that's really taken hold yet. I would say it's starting to look like, just like you said, if things do take hold, it may be late enough to not really have too much of an impact on yield. I have not, oddly enough, I've not seen any, typically we find common rust, you know, about everywhere you go. It doesn't impact yield typically, but you find it. I haven't seen any rust at all this year, and no southern rust, which is good. So yeah, going to be interesting. We get north of, you know, we're right on I-80 here, north of I-80. We tend to see fairly regular white mold pressure in a lot of areas. I would say there's going to be two things impacting that this year. One, like I said, we haven't had a really, we've had a couple of hot spells, but we've had some cooler temperatures, cooler nights, and some dew that does kind of lend itself to infection. That infection usually comes in the blooms there in soybean. But back to your point, Troy, about those beans laying dormant, we didn't canopy until really late this year. And that, you know, that additional airflow, especially through 30-inch rows, I think is really going to help keep disease pressure at bay. So it'll be interesting to see. A little bit of bacterial blight, but nothing from a yield impact standpoint. So planes have been running pretty hard the last week or two, and I think most everything's had at least one dose of fungicide on it, so I think we're going to be in good shape. Let's shift to insects. Nick, you're out there in kind of central Iowa. Typically, rootworm, possibly some western bean cutworm. I don't know if you're far enough west to see any soybean gall midge. But what are you seeing this year from an insect pressure standpoint?
I guess the same as disease pressure, Troy. It's so far been minimal. A lot of our insecticide applications are made with a fungicide application to, you know, more of a preventative maintenance on corn rootworm. So, as they say, we're beetle bombing those in the with the fungicide. So I have not seen too much pressure as far as Japanese beetles, clipping silks, corn rootworm, things like that. I haven't seen a whole lot of insect pressures. I have heard of a lot of rootworm damage in corn roots, but yet, you know, we haven't had the signs show up yet as far as lodged corn or restricted uptake of water and nutrients yet. But you know, that may show up here after our podcast is completed in a couple weeks from now. We might start seeing those ugly effects of rootworm damage on the roots. But for right now, minimal. Obviously, aphids could come in or spider mites could come in if we get extremely dry over the next couple weeks. But again, I guess we're kind of at that point where we're just monitoring things closely to make sure that nothing is above threshold to add another application of insecticide.
Very good. Steve, what are you seeing up there in land of the 10,000 lakes?
It's interesting you're asking about insects. I just listened to a podcast from the University of Minnesota Extension this morning, and the 30 podcast covered just basically rootworms, northerns and westerns, and just kind of putting us on guard, telling us, you know, be out there, be on the watch and whatnot. It's with extended diapause, obviously more of a concern on corn, you know, with our livestock feeders. We do have, you know, quite a bit of corn on corn in the state. They reminded me I should, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to be out checking a few more fields, digging up some roots and seeing how they're doing. Right now, everything seems to be standing pretty good. Knock on wood, haven't had any, you know, heavy rains and winds that, you know, sometimes you see a lot of that lodging take place then. But aphids, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, it seemed like aphids would be almost like an every other year deal. But I know that that cycle ended and you pretty much have to be on the watch out for aphids every year. Right now I think it's a little bit early to say that that's going to be an issue. No reports of any spraying on aphids yet. You know, spider mites was going to be a concern with it as dry as it was, but I think we're starting to just see enough rain and different, you know, enough different pockets that that's been kind of minimized, at least in the short term. You asked about soybean gall midge. That is something that, you know, I think 5-6 years ago showed up in Minnesota for the first time in Rock County, which is the furthest southwest county in the state. I think it's been kind of held at bay there, but we've just been getting more education on that, how to identify it and watch out for it. So no major concerns right now. So that's good, but we're definitely trying to keep on guard.
No, it's good to hear. And yeah, you keep do what you can to keep that soybean gall midge out as far west as we can. Keep it away from us. We don't need that. Troy, what are you seeing over in your area in DeKalb?
Yeah, just a similar story. I think you know, you see insects out there. There's some Japanese beetles here, there. There's some rootworm beetles. Nothing of significance, nothing near threshold, just some random feeding, but nothing alarming at this point. I think the one thing that perked everyone's ears up back in June when it was so dry was a local agronomist in northern Illinois. There was some reports of spider mites in that northern tier of counties, and at that time, that was smallest growth stage of soybeans I think they'd spotted them in to that point. And so it kind of got everybody on alert, especially as dry as it was. But as Steve mentioned, with the rains we've had since then, it's become a non-issue and really didn't develop into anything. So thankfully that's the case. Would have been a pretty bad summer if we would have had an infestation of those takeovers. So really since then, nothing alarming and nothing really report worthy.
Yeah, I would say a similar story here in northwest Illinois, although I think we may have a little bit heavier rootworm pressure than in some other parts of the Midwest. We do have north of here seeing some corn on corn fields root lodging, you know, and they were planted to, you know, pyramided stacked BT trait hybrids. So that's, you know, obviously a little bit concerning. We know there's some resistance out there to those traits, you know, fairly isolated pockets. I wouldn't say it's widespread, but I've seen some heavier pressure even south of here down in Warren County. And then we've seen some lodge fields, like I said, up north as well. So there's some isolated pockets, but you know, nothing widespread. I actually do have a trap out for corn earworm. And that's an insect that doesn't overwinter here. It has to come from down south, and it usually takes big storm systems coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico to push those moths up into our area. And we really haven't had that this year. And I think I've had the trap out maybe 3 weeks, just kind of right when corn started to tassel, and I've caught two moths, which is really, really, really rare. I mean, even when we don't have much pressure, I tend to catch more moths than that. So really nothing to see or speak of from a corn earworm standpoint. And then, spider mites, we were really worried about that when it was hot and dry, but the rains have kind of tempered those concerns. So very, very similar story. Well, now I'm gonna put everybody on the spot and have you get your crystal ball out and let's just kind of go around the horn and talk about what you think yield potential is going forward. Nick, why don't we start with you again?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Troy, to be the first one that's wrong here. So, when you look at the last couple of years here in Central Iowa, we've had just phenomenal yields. When you got farm averages in the mid 200s for corn and soybeans above 70 bushel, it's really hard to repeat that again. And so I think, if we take, I think for sure we're at least 10% under that number, just given the fact that things have been so challenging, lack of rainfall. We had very little subsoil moisture going into the growing season. So I just looked up a stat before we started chatting here today. We're still about 6 inches below normal in rainfall for our growing season, and that's starting April 15th. So we've got a long ways to go to be caught up to that. So it'd be hard to say we're going to be at maximum potential for 2023. At the same time, I still think we had a great start. We had good emergence. We had a nice root development given the nice temperatures we had after planting. My crystal ball is saying that on our really highly managed farms that are strong in fertility and timely planted and that sort of thing, we're still going to be in the 225 range, give or take 5-10 bushel. So there's still great potential out there. It's just a matter of what happens between now and black layer. Do we have enough moisture to finish it out? Do we have cooler nights to help our grain field period slow down? All of those things play into that prediction. So I would say on the high quality ground, 225, low to medium quality ground, we're still going to be in the 200 range, unless we have some severe drought issues, which we do. There are some areas of the state, again, especially you go west of central Iowa, that are really struggling to find a rain event. So I know I've kind of danced around the answer, but that's where I'm coming up with, that mid 225 range for good quality ground with good timing and planting, and then still right above 2 for the other farms.
All right. Steve, what are you thinking?
Oh, let's see. I think that I'll start with soybeans. I'm impressed that the soybeans canopied, regardless of your row spacing. I was wondering for a long time if we were ever going to get enough rainfall to get those to canopy. We were behind the eight ball because we had late planting. So as good as the soybeans are looking now, I was worried about water hemp. With those pre-emerge herbicides not getting activated with enough rainfall early. Maybe that did happen eventually because these soybean fields for the most part are looking pretty clean, but that doesn't necessarily translate to high yields, right? I just think that we're going to be disappointed to some degree come harvest on the soybeans because we, being a photosensitive, day length crop, we just missed out on the front end of that growing season. And up here that means a lot too. So we'll see some yields 55 to 65, but I think we're gonna have a lot more in that 47 to 55 range. I've got probably a little bit more hope on the corn, just because of all the heat units we've been able to accumulate. But I think it's going to be somewhat of an average corn crop. I think it's going to be less than last year. We'll probably see a lot of 175 to 225, yields on corn there. So that's my guess for today, Troy.
All right. Very good. Over to DeKalb. Troy, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm not going to be quite as brave as Nick and Steve and toss a number out there for you, but I guess I'll speak in some generalities. If you look at the corn crop, seen a lot of ears in that 16 to 18, even I saw a couple 20 around in some really high quality soil, early planted fields. But there's also going to be some 12 to 14 around and some of that variable soil, marginal stuff that was planted later. So it's going to be quite variable. But what I will say is we've got a potential for a lot of fields on the upper end of that scale to be at least at farm average. And then a lot of them are going to fall just below that 10-15% below farm average for the year. So I think that's kind of the range we're sitting in. It's going to be very variable, but that'll be determined by soil type and planting date would be the two biggest factors there. Soybeans, I think we're probably potential-wise to be at farm average or maybe even a little above on the good high-quality soils and early planting stuff. So a lot of people in the area planted soybeans before they even went to the field with a corn planter. So those early planted beans, I was looking at a field just yesterday, and there's a lot of three-bean pods and even some four-bean pods in that canopy already. So it's just a matter of getting those rains to help those fill out and not abort. So the potential, I think, is there to be at field average or farm average or maybe even slightly above on soybeans, where I think corn will be maybe at farm average or slightly below.
No, I appreciate the... I appreciate the efforts there, guys. I know it's tough to estimate. Being the host, I get to go last, and I don't have to. You know, I get to let you guys kind of guide what I'm going to say here. But you know, I would say a fairly similar story. Again, going back to what I said earlier, I've seen a lot of restricted root growth in corn. If we continue to get moisture and decent temperatures through grain fill, there's some darn good potential out there. You know, there are some of those lighter soils did get hit kind of hard with the drought early on. You know, I think we're still going to be, even if we get good conditions here on out, probably 5 to 10% off of our of our highs. You know, and if we don't get rains or we get those, you know, mid to upper 70 degree nights, you know, it's going to hit a little bit harder. We're going to have some tip back. We're going to have some shallower kernels and it's really going to depend on whether the spigot keeps flowing and Mother Nature cooperates, because we don't have, you know, we've had enough moisture to keep us going, but we don't have the reserves to last through grain fill. With regard to soybean, I think Steve, you hit the nail on the head with your comment about, you know, we missed out on a lot of light interception this year. That's pretty important with soybean. They tend to compensate by branching out a little bit and making more pods. I do see a lot of pods out there. One of the things I've noticed a little bit this year is that because of that branching, I'm seeing a lot of fields with pods very, very close to the ground. And it may be difficult to get all of those in the combine. So it's really hard to tell. I've been in the agronomy game for a lot of years, and I've never come across anybody that can reliably predict soybean yields. I think the potential is good, but I still think, you know, I'm going to estimate that maybe 5 to 10% off, what we would normally expect in a good year. But it's really going to depend on how much water we get from here on out. So, well, guys, I appreciate it. That's kind of the last topic I had on my list. Anybody seeing anything else out there that they want to bring to our attention? Sounds like we don't have anything else. So, Nick Hoffman, farm manager in Nevada, Iowa, with Hertz. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Troy. My pleasure.
Steve Hinneker up in Mankato, Minnesota, also with Hertz. Steve, enjoy that nice weather, and thanks again. And Troy Dukes over in DeKalb, farm manager with Hertz at our DeKalb office. Troy, thank you for taking the time today.
Yeah, we'll keep doing our rain dances and keep it coming.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. And thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you next time on the next episode of Hertz Ag Talk. Thank you.